We want to give you as the design architect the opportunity to address the bulk concern without telling you what to do.
Sure.
We are going to suggest that you might consider breaking it into two hipped roofs, running one way or the other, and that one of them might cover the pool area and the rest, and the other one, which is bigger, might cover the rest of the space in that pavilion.
Yep.
That would break up the bulk of the roof, but we didn't want to say precisely how you should do it.
Sure.
Give you a chance to look at that.
Hypothetically, if I was to pose the scenario of reducing the ridge height but maintaining the extent, does that sound like it's heading in the right direction?
I don't know. A flatter roof, a lower pitch might look unsympathetic to the original house anyway. You know, you've pitched it fairly steeply, presumably to be similar to the house. And so that didn't immediately jump to mind as a solution.
Okay.
You know, your blade walls are very prairie school in style. Your addition has a bit of the prairie school about it. And, of course, a prairie school would have a number of flat roofs, stepping flat roofs, and that's not out of the question either if you want to sort of think about that.
Just because I know the owner's position on this exact question, I need to bring it to the panel's attention that separating any move to reduce the bulk and scale of that roof form to the rear, whether it's along the lines of separating the roof into two separate forms, along the lines of what Councillor's suggesting or otherwise, will necessarily reduce the volume of space that the open plan living spaces enjoy under the current proposal, and will severely limit the idea of the mezzanine study that overlooks the living space. So I know any suggestion to reduce the bulk and scale of that roof beyond the metre and a half lesser ridge height that it's proposed to be compared to the existing ridge is going to land heavily with both myself and my clients. A contemporary and appropriate open plan living space with some degree of internal volume is what's really needed to make that study work.
Yes, well, us architects always have to pull the rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah,
I think there's another question over here.
Just a comment in relation to that the way we've worded the deferred commencement conditions gives you scope to play.
Okay.
We haven't been definitive about it, so it's up to you to achieve.
I appreciate that flexibility. Regarding the other points that the panel raises, the vehicle gate width, I know that's also a functional requirement that the clients have, that the current width of the gate simply does not accommodate contemporary cars, and certainly not the fairly standard SUV that the family currently owns to fit between the existing openings. I'd also hasten to add that the left-hand pillar of that forms one side of the gate has been reconstructed at some point in the past, such that its bricks aren't even original. So we'd certainly be suggesting that the detailing, the rhythm, the materiality of the existing fence could be replicated.
Can I ask
but I've got 2.8.
Yeah. Isn't that standard for a vehicle?
Well, together with the hedge that actually further, the existing hedge on the right-hand side that further narrows that width, it's not only the built dimensions, but the hedge that poses a problem in entering that
property. But perhaps
the
hedge could be managed somehow. There's plenty of ways to skin a cat like that.
Regarding Mr. Stapleton's comments about the design of the rear windows, I acknowledge your insight there in pointing to the proportion of the mid-rail, etc., and I'd be more than happy from a creative point of view to reappraise that.
I think it may be just the look of the drawing. If you can do a detailed drawing of what you mean by the present design, say if it was a steel frame, elegant steel frame, the existing design might be fine. It just looks like it's some sort of Laminex-coated sort of dado panel a la 1970s, you know, just by the way it's drawn. It may not be that.
The panels, in saying a transom, we were picking up the window head height in the main building, so suggesting you'd still have a fan light above it, but it just seemed the scale of the rear pavilion seemed to not be really sympathetic to the main house, because you had full height windows up to the eave level in the pavilion, and we're not opposing that, we're just saying to get some sort of a sympathetic proportion going, that a transom at the window head height of the main building could help bring that about.
But just to clarify, the proportion of glazing to solid wall isn't something that troubles the panel, as it clearly troubles council?
No, it didn't.
Thank you.
No, your concept is to have the blade walls with glazing between, and we can understand that.
Yep.
We're not saying that the addition should ape or be a copy of the front wing, but it's got to have its own architectural language because it's a fairly big addition. But nevertheless, the new architectural language in some way needs to relate to the scale and form of the front wing.
Ms. Day is just inquiring about, would you be opposed to including a record of the interior of the house, photographic record and record of existing materials to be retained within the house for future reference?
We'd be very happy to undertake that photographic study.
All right. Do you want to a typical phraseology for that to be added?
Yes, we would include the submission of a schedule of elements and finishes in the main front wing of the house that are to be retained.
That are to be retained.
That are to be.
Okay. All right. Any further comments from the applicant or the architect?
No, I don't think you. Thank you, Mr.
Right.
Chairman.
Thank you. Is the panel of a mind to approve it, subject to, I think it's deferred commencement condition part A in brackets 1 in brackets Romans 2 to be altered as shown on the screen?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. That's a unanimous decision. The panel approves item 7 on the agenda, subject to deferred commencement condition part A in brackets 1, Romans 2, all of the existing dot points to be deleted and replaced with the dot points as determined by the panel and shown on the minutes here too. Thank you. We now go on to item 8. Now, item 8 is DA 2011-00468.01, 22 Excelsior Parade, Marrickville. Now, I do have, I think, somebody listed to speak on that. Yes, I've got a Mick O'Rourke of 20 Excelsior Parade, Marrickville, and a George Bouropoulos, architect, on behalf of the applicant. Who do we have to speak? Mr. O'Rourke, should you come first? That gives the applicant an opportunity to respond to you, you see. Thank you. Thank you. Please go. Just make sure the red button's pressed.
Thank you for everyone and your time leading up to today and time today. It's highly valued. To start off, we believe a good segment of our concerns and issues are addressed by Council's recommendation regarding the rear setback condition and its otherwise detrimental nature to the surrounding houses. Regarding the height increase and assessment of, as you are aware, RL discrepancies do exist, and neither DA or CC stamped plans for number 20 were used in the submission. This made assessment difficult in respect to bulk and height. We believe the submitted bulk and height is misrepresented compared to number 20, and it perhaps overall lacks sympathy. We believe, given the true difference in height versus presented, you'll find the proposed change in bulk and height to be predominant and detrimental. It's also worth noting for the DA, it's also worth noting the DA for number 20, while within DCP limits, was required on merit to reduce its height 500 mils, resulting in earth and foundation works at additional cost of $100,000 to my wife and I. You saw the depth we had to go to today and the difference between the two properties. This 500 mil reduction resulted in lower ground living area light issues addressed with the skylights viewed today. The resulting blue sky views are certainly valued, as is the light that they provide to our living area. Given all of these aspects, we'd like to suggest the committee set an additional condition to require the original DA building height. I'd also like to suggest that on one note in the in the document regarding draft DCP changes to floor space ratio, I'd like to suggest these are not considered. They are drafts after all, and by their nature can and will change. I'd like to suggest that only current community approved standards are considered. Thank you.
Any questions from the panel?
No questions from me.
All right. Tell me, have you seen a survey of your building as finished or of the adjoining property?
We have ours, and it's ready. It's been ready to be presented to the certifier and for our construction completion to be issued.
Yes. So does that show your property in terms of its location on the site in relation to its boundaries as well as the height at each floor level?
As finalised, yes. So as you saw it today.
All right. And when you say the current application before us is misrepresented,
yes,
you're saying it's higher than the plans show it, or what?
Correct. Suggesting that number 20 is shown as being much higher, at least 500 mils, than it is shown on what you've got in front
all
of you.
Right. And what about the horizontal dimension in relation? You know that the application before us is to extend an already approved house,
yes,
on number 22 a little further to the rear.
The rear setback, yes.
Yes.
As I sort of talked to, we support the council recommendation in regards to the approval of the original setback only. So, and we believe that that will satisfy a lot of our privacy and other concerns. So
all right. Okay. Question?
On the face of it, we understand your argument about there may be inaccuracies in the drawings.
Sure.
But on the face of it, this proposal is to only enlarge the building by a small amount. I just want to give you the opportunity to say why that will disadvantage your amenity, because if it proves to be that the by survey that the application is correct, I don't want you to have lost the opportunity to say why that affects you. I mean, I've looked at overshadowing and I've looked at overlooking, and I can't see much wrong with the proposal. So What's wrong with the proposal?
We must switch on and off. As I got covered in my original submission, I think we talked to the sheer bulk and height. It's very up in height. We're significantly lower. So our rear yard, which you would have seen today, so bringing that further back and given the sheer height, I think we calculated the difference to be it's closer to 10 metres, which, considering the further distance back, is quite significant, you know, when it's only a few metres away from you. That was the essence of the objection submitted, just that sheer height, and certainly coming further back. We had, you know, maybe if we had a 20-metre tree there, you know, it might be a little bit better, but it's very in your face as a development, and I think, you know, in that sense, we feel it's imposing, stark, and certainly detrimental to us and our family. And I'd suggest, while the other neighbours aren't here and they didn't submit, just on my discussions with them, they felt in similar ways.
Thank you. I don't think there's any further questions. If you'd like to retire, we'll ask from Mr. George Baropoulos.
Thank you.
Are you here?
Okay. Just going through the assessment report, I've just got some comments that I think will be valuable. The increase in FSR, I think, is largely contributed to the ground floor. We're proposing a new bedroom where before it was undercroft. So the main bulk of the FSR is already, it's within the approved building envelope. The rear setback that we're proposing accounts for about 6 square metres of new additional space. The reason for the additional metre at the back, I think, is to increase our direct sunlight into the sitting and living areas. That's in response to the neighbour's building, who's built literally 2 stories on the boundary. So we just want to increase our amenity to our own subject property. In saying that, the neighbour on the other side, solar access is maintained and still compliant, so there's minimal impact to the neighbouring building on the south. Amenities to number 20, I think, is maintained. I think we've addressed all privacy concerns, and I don't think there's any... there's no privacy concerns. In terms of the we've had some backwards and forwards with ASHA in terms of the rear setback. There's clearly no clear setback line present in the street. With our rear setback, we've gone off the average of both neighbouring dwellings, which I think is fair. Finally here, just a little statement that was written in the assessment. It says here, it is mentioned in the development assessment report that the new reduced setback will set a new dangerous precedent by allowing neighbours to match this existing setback, resulting in adequate private open space and areas for planting. I think this is totally untrue, because we're proposing to set back the ground floor and the first floor, not the lower floor, whereas with number 20, their building is actually 6 metres beyond our lower floor plan, so we're not changing that. So I disagree that it's going to set a new dangerous precedent. Thank you.
I have a question. We're looking at the plans and we're hearing from the objector, and I believe the panel got to a point where we were split on whether or not we could rely on the plans in terms of the relationship to the house on number 20. And in assessing the potential impact of what you're proposing and its relationship to number 20, we sort of felt that the plans largely deal with the building on your site, and it shows what we believe to be either the approved plans or a previous version of the plans on number 20. And we're not sure about the juxtaposition of one to the other. And so the panel was a bit divided, and we were considering if we would defer approval of this and ask for a survey plan of number 20 in relation to what you're proposing. And of course we hear now that Mr. O'Rourke has his survey ready to go, and I'm wondering, Mr. O'Rourke, if you're prepared to make that available to the applicant surveyor so that they could use that in preparing a comparison of what the applicant's proposing and what you've actually built. Would you do that? Well, I suppose the question to you, Mr. Baropoulos, is would your client agree to getting a surveyor to actually plot the two buildings so that we can have an accurate comparison?
I think he'll be okay with that.
That'd be okay?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll just ask the panel.
I think that's the best way forward all round.
Yes, I'd agree with that, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to raise also point to condition 14A of the council officer's recommendation and point out whether or not that was intended to mean in the third line by not extending any further than the scheme approved. Did they mean not extending to the rear any further than the scheme approved, etc., etc.? My reading of the report is they meant that rather than not extending at all.
Okay.
But that's not something for us to decide, but I just point that out to council officers. They might want to amend that recommendation.
Well, just another comment on the same thing, or a similar thing. In condition 14, in order to protect the privacy of number 20, the council had imposed a condition that on the side of your proposal adjoining number 20, that the windows have translucent glazing to minimum level 1.6 metres above the floor level, or suitable external fixed screening. I only want to note that translucent glazing can be clear glass. It would need to be is frosted or figured glass. And I take it you're not opposed to that.
No, that's fine, but we've already got timber screening, external screening.
Yes, I saw that.
If that's what makes you guys happy, that's fine.
Are you thinking of just vertical... slots with what sort of spacing between battens?
Look, it's going to be 50% open. So, if we get battens at a 50 wide, 25 mil gap.
Right. Well, what would happen if, for instance, if they're straight slots, there's a skylight in number 20, but if you're very far above, it would look straight down into their living room. You could look through the slots.
We can certainly propose
angled... Could you angle them, or...?
Yeah, we can certainly propose angled screens. That's not a problem.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I think our main concern was just that getting that additional space in the sitting room just to increase amenity.
Okay. Well, of course, the slotted... If you angle the screen, vertical screen ribs to you, you can control sunlight in the interior as well. Mm. Okay. Well, the panel's unanimous, is it?
Yes, we're deferring.
Aye.
We're deferring?
Yeah.
Do you want to say more? Okay. I've spoken to the panel and they've decided unanimously that the panel will defer its decision pending the submission by the applicant of a survey prepared by a registered surveyor depicting the location of the southeast rear wall of the neighbouring house at number 20 Parade at each level, as well as the southeast rear wall at each level of the proposed building. And I would like to note on that that the owner of number 20 has volunteered to provide his existing survey to the applicant in order to aid this comparison. Thank you. All right. You happy with that? Thank you. Well, that concludes item number 8. And we move on to item number 9. Which is DA 2016-00434.05, 313-319 Marrickville Road, Marrickville. And this is to modify an earlier modified determination, number 2016-00434.04, dated the 4th of June 2018, to include a reference to a public domain staging plan in Condition 1, and correct the wording of conditions 64, 79, 121 and 124, and further to modify conditions 59, 64, 79, 121, 124, 133, 137, 140, 141, 145, 148, 149 and 151 with regard to the requirements for when each condition is to be considered discharged. Now, I have a note here that we have an Angela Kavanagh, Development Manager for Mervac, here to speak, and a Matthew Hardwick, also from Mervac. Who would like to speak first? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Kavanagh.
Good afternoon to the panel. My name is Angela Kavanagh. Mm-hmm. I represent Mervac and I am the development manager on this project. Mm-hmm. Just by way of a brief background to this application, in late 2015, Mervac entered into a delivery agreement with Inner West Council to develop this site, and this contemplated the development of a community hub and residential apartments. We sought and received DA approval for this development in late 2017, and following this DA approval, the land parcel was subdivided into its two respective lots, one being for the residential apartments and the other for the community hub. The agreement between Mervac and Council contemplates a staged delivery of the overall project, with the community hub being completed earlier than the residential portion, given the extent of the works and the construction timeframes being greater on the residential portion by approximately 1 year. The current DA approval does contemplate staging of the two portions, but there are elements that we're requesting to better address this staging, in particular the external works. No change is proposed to the scope of the works under the DA. An external work staging plan has been prepared in consultation with Council and is proposed to be conditioned as part of this application. Essentially, we're requesting that the external works attributable to each portion are linked to the completion of that portion. For example, the public domain works surrounding the community hub lot be completed at the time of the community hub, and the external works surrounding the residential lot be completed as part of the residential completion. There's also a number of housekeeping issues to correct wording, which was in error. We've read the report and we're accepting of all the recommendations made by the planner, and we're available here today to answer any questions that the panel may have.
Mm-hmm. You've got the agenda there, have you, with the proposed changes to the conditions?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you'll see some of them are identified in red in column 2.
Yes.
And we're told that the text in red is what the council wants to insert.
That's correct.
So you're saying you're happy with that?
Yes, we're happy with that. It's primarily just they wanted to reference the staging plan specifically a little more than we had referenced it, which is fine. I think we referenced it once in the condition, but they wanted the staging plan referenced twice in the condition.
Yeah. Well, I could sort of understand that because it's a complex proposal.
That's right.
And coming from the outside, trying to understand it, it's certainly the corrections made it easier for me. There are two things I was wanting to do. You see on the column on the right where it's the comments?
Yes.
I was kept on looking on the plan, on the staging plan, for things written in red. Couldn't find them. So I suddenly realised it's text. It's the items in red the council wants to change that are the items in red.
Yes.
In column two. But I also went to the plan, the public domain staging plan dated 15th of January 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And in looking for something in red, I found the subdivision line. And I thought, well, what's that? Is that what they're talking about marked in red? And...
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and just for clarity, after I came to the understanding about the text, I thought it should be added on that plan that after subdivision line, it should say subdivision line between community hub lot and residential building lots. And that way it all started to make sense to me.
Mm.
I thought there was a reference to that.
Yeah, the only items that have been raised in red, except for one instance, is it's just the words being added as identified on the public domain staging plan.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the only words that were actually added in red, save for one condition where it was an additional bit of wording.
Well, I've got lots on mine.
But does it say the same thing? Does it say as identified on the public domain staging plan?
Yeah, at dated the bottom, but there's more in red than that. Have you got page 421 of the agenda?
Yes, I do. Yep, 421.
Well, just on condition 59.
That is the only condition that has the words approved interpretation plan, and they're the... They're the only other words, save for as identified on the public domain work staging plan.
That's right.
Yes, but then you go through to...
Unless I've missed something.
Yeah. You go through to condition 64. It's got similar additions in red. You go through to condition 133. You've got similar ones in red. Condition 140... Condition 141, 149, 151, similar things added.
But they all say the same thing?
Yeah.
As identified in the public domain work staging plan?
Well, you were saying to me it was only in one condition, but...
Sorry, what I meant was the words as identified on the public domain staging plan repeat themselves over and over, and there's one exception to that where it's a different wording, which is 59, where it talks about the interpretation plan.
Okay.
But aside from that, aside from condition 59, where they have also added the approved interpretation plan wording there, every other instance in the red text is purely just the as identified on the public domain staging plan dated 15th of January
2019. All right. So... When it comes down to it, you're happy with everything.
Yes.
And the only thing I want to add to the public domain staging plan 15th of 1st, 2019 is the words after subdivision line between community hub lot and residential building slots.
Sorry, could you please repeat that?
I'll hand it down to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Just read it.
Yeah.
There
okay.
You go.
What do you see
after the word subdivision line, up the top to the right.
Subdivision line, correct? Between the community hub and the register. Yeah.
Is that okay?
Of course.
All right. You better show it to Angela to be sure.
Just the mechanism subdivision line, saying we between community hub lot and residential building lot.
Yeah. Yes, that's fine.
Yep.
Okay. Now, in this extreme list of plans, Is that plan specifically listed?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Where is it?
Conditions, yeah, here it is. Well, it should be in bold, shouldn't it, or something?
It should be in here.
Are you saying that sort of that should be referenced in the document?
Yeah, it should be.
Sorry.
Page 440.
Ah. Oh, down there. There it is.
Yeah, there, yeah.
Okay. Well, we can insert a clause just at the bottom there that that particular plan be amended by the addition of those words. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're happy with that?
Yes, the words on the subdivision plan noting the subdivision line.
Mm.
Yes.
Are the panel happy with that?
Yes.
I will. Yes. Oh, do you want me to do it before you say yes?
Yes.
Okay. I would propose that the panel adopt the recommendations of the staff as shown on page 434 of the agenda and ensuing, and that in subject to in condition attachment A, condition 1 on page 440 of the agenda, after the drawing list box for the public domain staging plan issued on the 15th of 1st, 2019, that the plan be amended by the addition of the following words after the title subdivision line, quote, between community hub lot and residential building lots, end quote. See, public domain staging plan is capital P, capital D, capital S, capital B. You mean by this end of the words, inverted commas, between community hub lot and residential building lots, plural. Plural, end quote. And in that quote, it's community, capital C, hub, capital H, lot, capital L, and then residential building lots, capital R, capital B, capital L. Okay. Is the panel in agreement?
Agreed.
Yes.
Thank you. That's not a unanimous decision. And then we go to item 10. And I think, Mr. Hawke, weren't you going to take the running on that one? That concludes that matter.
Oh, we guided it.
Thank
it
you.
Was unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Proposal to amend approved alterations and additions to the Ashfield Aquatic Centre to change the height of the approved front fence, modify timing of the installation of parking control devices in the car park, remove the requirement for a public domain plan, and amend the time frame for the Elizabeth Street pedestrian crossing details. This proposal relates to a site owned by council, and council officers do not have delegation to approve the application. Panel visited the site this morning and considered the raising of the Elizabeth Street green fence by up to 500 mils as acceptable. The other aspects included in the application are considered to be largely housekeeping matters, and therefore the panel endorses the recommendation and outlined on page 511 of the agenda to grant consent for amendments to the approved alterations and additions subject to conditions.
Is the panel in agreement on this?
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you. It's another.
Is that just, Mr. Chairman, is that wording?
There's a little two existing residential flat buildings.
Is that wording supports and endorses?
Just knock out the
sufficient.
Support, well, approves.
Approves,
hmm. I would say instead of and endorses and approves.
Oh, no, it would be the first approves under, instead of supports, put approves.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Approves the findings contained in the assessment report. Okay.
Approves.
Okay, you all happy with that amendment?
Yep.
Okay, we have an empty room, and that concludes the agenda. I therefore formally close the meeting and thank you for your attendance.
4:15.
Oh.
It's a 2019 record.
Is it?
Yes.
Is this the first meeting, though?
That's the second.
Is it?
That's
you mean Angus took longer?
That was last year.
Last year.
You're only good as your last meeting.
Yeah. Yes, I keep getting reminded of that.
Just the deferred matter, it won't be the same panel, will it? There's no need for
any.
No need to keep the papers.
The statistical food could be the same.
But you'll issue new papers.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, I should have added on that. We did say the setback at each level, or a position at each level, you also need the height, don't you? Because the objector was complaining about it's going to be so much higher than us. So you should say at each level.
The height and location.
And location. Mm.
If I'd spent $100,000 in Sydney,
without being too pedantic, as well, that's correct, southeast wall of the neighbouring house at 28 Excelsior, as well as the southeast wall at each level of the proposed building, isn't the critical point the northeast wall on the subject building, because that is the critical one?
But if you get the rear, you know. Don't you?
The height of the southeast rear wall. So they're both going for the southeast, both of them.
Well, that's the whole objection, isn't it? Is the position of the rear wall in relation to the rear wall of the adjoining properties, isn't it?
Yes. Well, they're only applying to move the rear wall, the proponent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that they hadn't plotted the neighbour's rear wall properly.
Yeah.
But the chairman's right. We do need the heights of the floors. We do need the heights of the existing and the proposed.
And the outcome. I think Kevin was going to make the outcome certified by. Yeah, that's good.
Well, it's got to be provided. Yeah.
Prepared and certified.
Oh, if it's prepared, it is surely, isn't it?
I've seen it written differently.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm happy with prepared by a registered surveyor, unless you're all happy. Unhappy, I should say. Have a good holiday, won't you?
Thank you.